Welcome to the Cup of Glow podcast, where each week we will connect, uplift, and promote people, places, and events in and around Tallahassee for you. I am your host, Gloria Darling, your community cheerleader, proud milestone diva, and advocate for women age 50 or better. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go! Grab your favorite beverage and join me on my virtual front porch as we start the show. It is my honor today to discuss some of the leadership roles of women in churches today with our guest, Pastor Doris Simpson from Polished After the Furnace International Ministries. Pastor Simpson was born and raised in Perry, Florida. She is the mother of five and grandmother to two. She was called into ministry in 2003 as a prophetess. In 2018, she was given the vision for Polished After the Furnace International Ministries. Welcome, Doris. Let's dive in. You started in the ministry as a prophetess and later became the pastor of your church. What is the difference between a prophetess and a pastor?
A prophetess is one that is the mouthpiece of God. It hears directly from God and it releases directly what God says. No changing, no altering, but exactly what God says. The pastor is one that shepherds the people, and it helps to keep the church in line. It's the one that will go the extra mile. It should have a heart after God. And so the two work together, whereas you can still hear the voice of God in the sanctuary, in the church, and also get the shepherding that you need from the pastor.
All right. So we can consider the pastor also like the manager of all things that's going on in the church, or is that someone else that would fill that role?
No, it would be the pastor.
Was it harder to start out as the prophetess and later go to prophetess and pastor? Which was harder to do to start doing?
To me, neither was harder because I was looking for position. I was looking for where I was supposed to be. So the pastor role came definitely after the prophetess, but as being a prophetess, I had to learn a lot of things that are now useful for me as being a pastor.
Give us some examples of what you would actually do as a prophetess.
As a prophetess, God gives me insight into people's future. He gives me warning. He gives me discipline and correction messages to relay to people. And so sometimes that is hard as far as if you know the person, you don't want to, you know, hurt feelings, but God had to get me over people's feelings. And also the prophet has to learn when to speak and when not to speak.
Got it. I've seen other women in ministry described as apostles, evangelists, and missionaries. What's the difference?
The apostle, if we look at the hand, we have five fingers. And so the scripture speaks clearly of the fivefold ministry. And the apostle, if we look at the hand, would be considered the thumb. And then so the apostle has the ability to reach every other ministry, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist. So it has the ability to cover all the other ministries. So the apostle is like a father figure that covers the other ministries in the kingdom.
Oh, okay. And then women can also be apostles.
If they say God told them to do that, I can't argue with that. But the scripture clearly says that that an apostle is a father figure. But again, you know, I don't hear what God says to everybody.
I understand. I visited your church and I saw the active involvement of your children, singing, playing music, and dancing. Yes. Do you think any of them will follow you into leadership within the church?
Definitely. My oldest is now working beside me now in ministry. I have a daughter that sings gospel music that she has produced a CD from. And my son is a prophet. All of my children and I are very prophetic. So I have prophetic dancer. I have two or three prophets in the house, as well as my grandson and my daughter.
Messages get mixed up every now and then.
Well, no, pretty much the prophet, when we're in the spirit of God, that's why we have to be careful, because there's a thin line between prophecy and witchcraft. So when we're in the spirit of God, all the messages say the same thing. It may have different language or terminology, but it all says the same thing.
Got it. What challenges have you faced from the men in ministry?
Well, it's ironic that you asked me that, because the first challenge that I faced with a man was my very own dad, that didn't believe that women should be able to stand in the pulpit. And I had to remind him that he gave me a message when he walked off and left me. So somebody need to hear that. And then in scripture, we see that it was several women that had ministered in the church and was called prophetess and different things like that. So I say, to that challenge is to each his own. I know I have something to say, and that's by way of the Holy Ghost. So I got something to say to the men, too, as well as the women. So God has no respect a person. In the scripture, he used a donkey, so why not use a woman?
Understand. You mentioned your dad. We frequently hear about the old boys club in business, in corporations. Is there something similar in the ministry with the ministry at large, not just within your household with your father, but other local ministers or ministers you encounter? Do the men close up with regards to how they interact with the other women pastors? Do you ever encounter any issues with that?
If I do, I'm dumbfounded to it, because I have one eyesight, and that's the eyesight of God. So a lot of times things happen to me, and God has to reveal that to me. Oh, this happened, that happened. But I'm over people. I'm over what they would think about me. So
I think you would really have to be a very strong person to put yourself out in any realm doing anything that you're going to have to interact with the public. But to be a pastor of a church, to me, is extremely impressive. I don't know that I could take that on my shoulders, my very big shoulders, but I don't think so. What do you love the most about pastoring a church?
People. I love people. I have the spirit of gab. I could talk. They don't have to talk back. Just sit. I do all the talking. I love people. I love to interact. I love helping. I'm a giver. I just love to see another person catapult to the next place. And so that takes me having to. I just love people, children, big people, little people. It doesn't matter. So I say the people, being able to conversate with people, is the best part of pastoring.
Besides your own children, who I would imagine follow your example, have anyone in your congregation also receive the word or the vision to move beyond sitting in the pew and taking another role within the church?
Yes, actually, right now we're currently I'm doing a leadership training amongst my leaders. I've had a couple of leaders to join the church. One even quit their job and said that they believe God has told them to devote all of their time to us. So, yeah, they are very submissive, my leaders, and we plan on elevating as God see fit.
What advice would you give a woman who may be considering a leadership role in her own place of worship, whether it's the traditional Christian church or a different path, but she's considering going to another level?
I would say to those women to jump. My motto is to jump. Don't prepare a parachute. Don't prepare the fall that you may fall. Just jump and allow God to do the catching, or put his hands in place that you can step on his hands and go higher. You'll never know until you do it. And we don't realize how powerful we are as women. Come on, we birth children. We birth children, and some of it is without medication. And so if we have the strength to do that, we can conquer leadership in the church. Through the Holy Ghost, we can conquer that.
While the church I grew up in only had male pastors at the time, there were women in visible roles that assisted the pastor, such as the church mother and deaconesses. Do you have women who serve in those capacities in your church?
No, everybody has a voice. God has given me a vision, but he's given me members that can add creativity to the vision. So they have to be as loud as I am.
All right, then. So, women, you hear that. If you want to share your voice, you can just show up and open your mouth. What can a visitor expect the first time they attend Polish After the Furnace?
They should expect something coming straight from the hip. I shoot straight from the hip. We call it what it is. We have love. We are actually teaching now on love, not on ministry, but on love, because the scripture says, by loving kindness have I drawn thee. And they can expect a word. They can expect many hugs from the adults as well as the children. And after that, a good meal.
You provide meals after every service?
I love fellowship. We pull the food out and we just sit and talk and laugh and, you know, fellowship and have a good time because we're family.
Is there a certain menu every week or is it just ad hoc?
No, it's just as it comes.
Well, I neglected to ask this before, so we'll go back and I'll do that. Can you tell us more about Polished After the Furnace? That's an unusual name for a church for me.
Yes.
Perhaps it is for others as well. So please explain that.
So during my time of being in different churches, we were abused, spiritually abused. My kids was mistreated. And I'm talking about I was only 2 days saved, so I still had the worldly fight in me. So I wanted to fight. But God promised me that he would fight my battles for me. So I stayed in and kept doing what I needed to do. And so it was so much hurt and pain. I remember one day coming home. It's been about 5-6 years ago now. My son jumped off the porch. He said, Mama, I heard from God. I said, well, what did he say? He said, it's time to start ministry. And so from that day to the day that we started ministry was about 2 years. So God say, start the ministry, but open the doors for the hurt. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, you already know not what to do. You don't hurt people. You don't stop them from ministering. You know, you accept their creativity. So he said that we have to become polished, but we got to get in the fire. So the furnace is the fire, but it's going to, after it's polished, you're going to be that polished piece of gold. And so even before you realize that you are raw as a gold nugget, God has you in the fire. So Polish After the Furnace International Ministry says this: don't be afraid to get in the fire. Stop standing and warming up, seeing if it's too hot, trying to check the temperature. Just get in the fire so that you can be purified in that area, and then God can move you to the next place.
Well, thank you for that explanation. I'm sure that helped other people as well. The message is even in the title.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Well, Pastor Doris, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Yeah. We believe that everyone has an opinion and we want to hear from you. Please email your comments to gloria@cupofglow.com. If you have already subscribed to the podcast, thank you. If you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. If you would like to be a sponsor of the Cup of Glow podcast, please send your request for information via email to gloria@cupofglow.com. Until next week, this has been the Cup of Glow podcast with Gloria Darling, connecting, uplifting, and promoting you.